Welcome back to session 17, from pain relief to pain release. The standard definition used for pain is that of the International Association for the Study of Pain, the IASP. An unpleasant sensory or emotional experience associated with actual or potential tissue damage, or described in terms of such damage. Pain is always subjective. Each individual learns the application of the word through experiences related to injury in early life. It is unquestionably a sensation in a part of the body, but it is also unpleasant, and therefore also an emotional experience. Many people report pain in the absence of tissue damage, or any likely pathophysiological cause. Usually, this happens for psychological reasons. There is no way to distinguish their experiencing from that due to tissue damage if we take this subjective report. IASP, Pain, 1979, ex Shipton, 1993. It defies belief, doesn't it, that you can be in bed or on the sofa day after day resting and pacing yourself, and yet you can feel like you've run a marathon carrying two sacks of bricks. You may have developed tendon spots so painful that you can't bear anyone to touch or hold you, and have been told you have fibromyalgia. Whatever it is for you, it is distressing when your body is in pain, and it doesn't relate to an injury or something tangible that you can pinpoint. When you relay this information to a doctor, of course, their first concern is to check it's nothing life-threatening. Then, beyond that, their job is to relieve both your symptoms and your suffering. When doctors train, they take their Hippocratic oath. I will prescribe regimens for the good of my patients according to my ability and my judgment, and never do harm to anyone. Doctors are often heavily criticised in their approach to the treatment of chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. Elaine explains, I was probably one of the harshest critics of the dismissive approach of the many people I saw, and frankly furious at the inference that I was simply depressed. What I have come to understand now, that I can be a little bit more objective, was that they are trained to alleviate your suffering, and generally have only 10 minutes per appointment allocated to try to help you. I remember in the early days grappling with all of these symptoms and how desperate I was for an explanation. I was convinced my doctor would look at me and say, oh yes, you've contracted a virus called X, and this is what will happen, and the reason you're in pain is because of the following reasons, and we can do this, and this, and this. It never happened. I always left the practice feeling I'd wasted my time after trying to explain in 10 minutes that my life has been decimated, and the person you see before you is just a shell of who she was. One of my doctors used to start to sweat when I walked in. One day, my friend Louise, a nurse, came with me and insisted I was referred to a specific neurologist outside of my primary care trust who had an interest in ME. She did all the battling for me, as at this point, I felt very weak. Eventually, after months of waiting, testing and scanning, the doctor shrugged. I had my diagnosis, but was back to square one. The symptoms were worse. I was still having migraines and muscle and joint pain and being sent home to rest, angry, frustrated, and crestfallen, hoping it would go away miraculously at some point in the future. The research begins. Eventually, the penny dropped that no one is going to knock on the door and say, guess what, here's the answer. So, as long as you have been thoroughly checked out by your doctor, and have taken any relevant advice, that's where the research starts. And we move from victim mode to an empowered state. You've done exactly that because you are here reading or listening to this. So take a moment right now to recognize your progress. You have moved into that phase of recovery where you are taking responsibility for your journey to regain health. The knowledge. Learning about what pain actually is will help us to understand why the doctors offer pain relief rather than what we actually want, which is pain release. There are two types of pain, acute and chronic. Acute pain is the kind of pain associated with injury or tissue damage, like a broken bone or appendicitis. And this pain will usually go away when the stimulus of the pain is removed. You can have surgery or immobilize the bone, and the body will heal. Chronic pain. The difficulty with the kind of pain associated with the long-term conditions is that it's classified as chronic pain and is more complicated to deal with. Chronic pain may be caused by the body's response to acute pain. In the presence of the continued stimulation of nociceptors, changes occur within a nervous system. Nociceptors are free, bare nerve endings found in the skin, muscle, joints, bone, and viscera. Changes at the molecular level are dramatic and may include alterations in the genetic transcription of neurotransmitters and receptors. Julia Barrett says, these changes may also occur in the absence of an identifiable cause. One of the frustrating aspects of chronic pain is that the stimulus may be unknown. Doesn't help much, does it? Or does it? The intriguing bit is when someone talks about the stimulus being unknown. So something is causing the pain. It's just that we don't know what it is. The word fibromyalgia was a new word to me. How about you? If you're reading books about chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia that talk about symptom management, please throw them away. They should be renamed 100 Ways to Stay Ill. Fibromyalgia definitions can really make you worry. This one said, fibromyalgia is a chronic condition affecting around 2.7% of the population in developed countries. Patients experience widespread musculoskeletal pain and fatigue, often to a disabling degree, as well as many other distressing symptoms. There are many people who are reading these definitions and taking them as fact. We believe it's always a dangerous thing when you are told something is chronic. There are an astounding 1.8 million searches for fibromyalgia alone on Google every month, and this is what is found. The pain is often worse in the morning, improves throughout the day, and worsens at night. It can be experienced as aching, throbbing, burning, or migratory, meaning moving around the body. It is common for patients to also experience muscle tightness, soreness, and spasms. It is diagnosed by testing 11 to 18 tender points on the body. If you are like me, I immediately started pressing the bits of me, and those bits really did hurt. When your body is ill all over, it's hard to find a bit that doesn't hurt. What would happen if the definition that people found said that this was a temporary condition that can be overcome effectively? When we are in a low state and already anxious, reading that you have a chronic problem can be enough for us to buy into the idea that we are stuck with it permanently. This is another stress trigger. We already know the inflammatory effect cortisol has inside our body when we are under long-term stress. Add to that the immobility of chronic fatigue, and we get a stagnant system which causes us even more pain. In this week's recovery story, you'll hear from Liz, who was in such severe pain she couldn't even hug her own children. She is now pain-free and very active. So what causes the pain of fibromyalgia? According to researchers, there are many contributory factors that may trigger pain, and each person may have a combination of any of the following. Trauma, physical injury by violence or accident, an emotional wound leading to psychological injury, an event that causes distress, physiological reasons, immune or endocrine system dysfunction, autonomic nervous system dysfunction, often after a virus, enzyme deficiency, which allows accumulation of phosphate, gut problems such as candida overgrowth, often after antibiotic use, substance P, chronic sleep disorders. This felt like a breakthrough and exactly the kind of thing it would have been useful to know when we were in pain and did not know why. Isn't it easier and less stressful to have to check a list of potential causes so we can investigate what they actually mean? For example, what is substance P? It's a neurotransmitter that amplifies pain. Then you can see what might apply to you in your own situation. In the sessions of this program, we tackle the emotional and physiological factors. In the well-being exercises today, you'll be able to see which of those potential causes of your pain you have eliminated and those you might still have to check out. Let's look at the how-to of releasing pain. There is a physiology we adopt for different situations and experiences. How do we know when another person is in pain? We notice how they're holding their body. Notice in this picture how the body is held. Have you ever heard of muscle memory? Bodybuilders harness this when they've been training hard, then have a layoff from training their muscles. Their muscles build much quicker after the layoff period due to changes in the muscle fibers, as though the muscle remembers how it was. Sal Graziano has worked with over 40,000 people in the USA and has enabled people to progress from walking with frames to complete flexibility. He is an expert in body work and massage. He explains, your body will recreate anything in repetition that is not life-threatening. His belief is that when our system is stressed, physically or emotionally, it will create a tightening or contraction in our muscles and joints and fascia. Physiology is remembered and recreated over and over again, so we stay in pain unless we replace contraction with space and flexibility. This is why yoga is crucial to break the cycle. Elaine recalls, I once went on a fun team building day with some colleagues. We had to climb a high wall and help each other to the top. My arm got yanked so hard it popped and dislocated. I already had problems with this arm and it had been really painful for 2 years with restricted movement, so I avoided using it. I was offered physiotherapy for the dislocation, and although it took 4 months, this arm was eventually as good as new. I was amazed. The gentle daily exercises retrained the muscles, which had been recreating the memory of a painful and restricted arm, because my contracted physiology had become set into having a painful arm with limited movement. Think how immobile we get with CFS and fibromyalgia. It's no wonder that the pain gets worse as we go month on month, year on year, recreating the physiology of pain. Our muscles remember to stay contracted, tight, and wasted. The longer something stays in the body, the deeper the memory. The sooner you deal with it, the sooner it goes away. The key here is very gradual, incremental movement. It starts with simply imagining those muscles stretching and moving. If that sounds weird, Liz will tell you how she released the chronic pain of fibromyalgia by stretching the muscles in her imagination first. So, here are your pain release top tips for your mind. Every morning when you wake up, start the day with a gratitude check instead of a pain scan. Rather than check what hurts, think about what you're grateful for in your life and tap into how it feels in your body when you give thanks. And now your body. Choose an activity you can do to create space and flexibility in your muscles. Do half the amount you think you can do. And save half your energy. Build up slowly but surely. 10 seconds extra, 2 minutes extra, each time. The secret of health for both body and mind is not to mourn for the past, not to worry about the future, or not to anticipate troubles, but to live in the present moment wisely and earnestly. Buddha. Gather your favourite inspirational quotes together. They are free on the internet. Then paste them somewhere. The Facebook forum is a great place to share them, or print them out and read them when you want to connect with something that stirs your emotions. How can others help? The book, The Mind-Body Prescription by John Sarno, will be very helpful in understanding how to release your pain. Also, ask someone who is supporting your recovery to hold you accountable for doing your stretches or go for a walk. Maybe they can do it with you. Enjoy your exercises today. Take it all at your own pace and affirm your journey to health. Affirmation for the week. I lovingly create space and flexibility in my body. Moment by moment, I am healing and free. Wishing you a healing and happy week, and I'll be back with you on session 19.